WTAW News Time is about 5 minutes after the hour. 76 degrees at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by the BCS Regional Association of Realtors, your voice for real estate in the Brazos Valley. Go to bcsrealtor.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Last night's Bryan City Council meeting came to an abrupt end.
Rafael Pena reacted to Jason Byinski and Ben Hardeman leaving council chambers before voting on an amendment to next year's city budget.
There's a lot of class, Mayor.
That ended the meeting because the council did not have a quorum. Greg Owens and Bobby Sumick were not there, and Byinski and Hardeman left after a motion was made to move $50,000 from next year's funding of the Research Valley Partnership Economic Development Agency to help fund improvements at the Bryan Regional Athletic Complex. The next regularly scheduled council meeting is next Tuesday. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
20 speakers participated in last night's College Station School Board first public hearing on proposed boundary changes. Fourth grader Wilson Stapp was among seven speakers living in Nantucket who opposed the recommendations.
For 5 years, we've built friendships and connections. Now we are supposed to break away with a small group for 4 years, only to rejoin our old group as we enter high school.
Eighth grader Madeline Stapp gave board members and about half the members of the boundary committee who were in attendance another idea.
My proposal is that you keep elementary schools together as they follow tracks to intermediate, then middle school. Keep CSMS to CSHS and AMCMS to AMCHS. The new middle school should be split or possibly build a new high school since the growth shows it might be needed anyway.
Also speaking were 10 parents who called for grandfathering freshman students. The second public hearing is today at noon at the CSISD Transportation Center. As the College Station School Board starts collecting feedback on recommended changes to boundary lines of 5th through 12th grade schools, they will also be considering more bond issues. That was part of a presentation given to the board last week by the Boundary Change Committee.
College Station will be looking at bonds in November 2018 for Phase 2. Of College Station High School, and that campus, that phase two would open fall of 2021.
Committee member Philip Garrett also said population projections predict voters would have a bond issue in 2021 for a third high school. In 2 weeks, the Texas A&M system has groundbreaking of its first new building on the former Riverside campus, now called the Rellis Education Center. The Board of Regents was told at their last meeting the project is now on steroids.
We announced a vision of about a $150 million investment that has grown because of the excitement that has occurred to about a $300 million plus investment plan in the near term for projects at the Rellis campus.
Director John Barton says the first groundbreaking on the 26th is a research facility that is followed by groundbreaking next February or March on Blinn College's $30 million academic building. Dr. James Nelson is developing the academic programs at Rellis.
We're going to be looking at the lower division courses being offered by Blinn. The separate institutions offer the upper division coursework that we saw very little need for three system institutions to come in and argue over who's going to be teaching history 1301 or all four try and teach it. So this brings an economy of scale to the table, and it also holds the cost of education for the students down.
And the A&M Transportation Institute plans to start building a new $75 million headquarters and laboratory next April. Another 114 flu cases were reported over last week to the Brazos County Health Department. That makes the running total of the last 2 weeks 362. The health department doesn't keep track of September flu cases because the normal flu season runs from October through March. For comparative purposes, in October and November of last year, there was a combined 54 cases. That's almost one-seventh the number reported in the last 2 weeks. The health department advises everyone 6 months or older to get a flu shot. More tips are online at WTAW.com. A parking lot was shut down for 2 hours yesterday morning due to a suspicious package. Bryan Police Officer Kelly McKeithen says this was at the HEB at Texas and Highway 21.
It was a briefcase that was set up next to one of the gas pumps. Just because of the nature of the call, where the package was located, we officers who responded to the area cordoned off the area of the parking lot between the HEB store and the gas pumps. Old Hearn Road was shut down for just a small segment between Texas and I think it's Millburger.
The College Station bomb squad inspected the briefcase, determined it was safe without damaging it, and Bryan Police is looking for the owner. The parking lot was reopened at noon. WTAW News Time is 9 minutes after 8. It's 76 degrees. You can text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by the BCS Regional Association of Realtors. More news at 8:30, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Did you know that Bryan and College Station were both voted as top 10 most improved cities in the U.S. since the recession? Our market is booming, and now is the time to buy, sell, or invest in real estate by partnering with one of the trustworthy realtors from the BCS Association of Realtors. Hi, I'm Ed Berry, Executive VP of the BCS Association of Realtors. I'm proud to represent the amazing group of Brazos Valley Realtors who invest their money, efforts, and time in this community. Visit BCS Realtors. Realtor.com to find an agent and get started on the next exciting chapter of your life.
Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. Try Proactive Plus 100% risk-free. Plus, get 2 free gifts and free shipping. Take it from me, Proactive really works. Get prescription-grade Proactive Plus, their amazing skin purifying mask, and a second gift of your choice. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you don't pay a penny. Call now, 800-281-8770. 800-281-8770.
Good morning. It's 8:10. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast roof system, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com.
Considerable sunshine today. That'll push temperatures up to 90 to 95 this afternoon, though there could be a shower or storm as the day goes on, 90 to 95. Turning clear tonight, warm, lows near 75. High pressure will remain off to the east tomorrow. More sun, maybe an isolated storm late in the day, a high of 95. Clear tomorrow night, lows are going to be near 75. The outlook for Friday, sunshine and warm, highs 90 to 95. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Well, you know, we try to be helpful here whenever we can. It's 8:11. Say your student had an 8 o'clock class. Never mind, it's too late.
Sorry.
What in the world made you think you wanted an MWF on at 8 o'clock?
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, so anyhow. But if you happen to be, and this is your first time to have to do things like load the dishwasher, we have some things that help you out.
Ooh, helpful tips.
Coming from Martha Stewart,
ooh,
no less.
Ooh, hey, Martha.
Yeah, so anyway, here are things that are better off to be washing by hand. All dishes made before 1960.
Huh.
Yep, they just weren't made to handle the heat, all right? Anything made of wood or that has a wood handle.
I've heard that before.
Or wood cutting boards, same thing. You know, if you got that electric heat going, that's not going to help much.
I put my wooden spoons in the dishwasher all the time.
Yeah, so do we, yeah. Cast iron pots and pans.
Mm.
Just do that by hand. Do that by hand.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
After you clean them, if you have to use the soap, then be sure and put oil back in. Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. Any pan with a nonstick coating.
I learned that recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Painted dishes, like old Pyrex measuring cups.
Oh, yeah.
Paint wears off if that happens. Okay.
Hmm.
Anything made of pewter, brass, or bronze, obviously. Dishwasher can cause pitting. Cake pans, they'll lose their coating.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And then they'll get rusty.
It's
no good, see, and then the cake will stick to them, so that doesn't work.
Total sense.
And rubber items. The Tupperware sometimes doesn't do too well.
So what can you put in your dishwasher?
All that other stuff. All that other stuff.
Everything else.
Whatever, yes. I put Tupperware in my dishwasher all the
then
time,
you work
too.
That okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and then if it doesn't, you throw it away and you buy new ones.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you get silverware as clean as possible, the way to do it, Martha says, recommends alternating so that one utensil is handled down, the other one is handled up.
Hmm. That's when is the last time Martha Stewart washed a dish?
Right? You know, that's an excellent point. She does have people for that.
I actually got in an argument with an ex over this one time because she wanted to put them face up and I wanted to put them face down. She said they don't get as clean face up. I said there's holes in the basket you put them in, so of course they do.
Yeah.
And also, if you put them face down, you don't stab yourself every time you're trying to get a fork or a spoon.
That part does
matter. I've always put them face up, except for knives I put face down.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I don't know. That's just a good compromise.
Yeah.
But regardless, again, when is the last time Martha washed a dish?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how much are we paying for that dishwashing?
Study?
No, the dishwashing detergent now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it comes in the little pods.
I use pods. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, used to be you could go to the Samatorium and get like a 14-pound box of that stuff.
I know.
And it would last for a while.
Forever.
And now it doesn't. You just get a little bucket of those pods.
Little pods.
And so there you go. That's fun.
Like, I really like to cook, and I would probably cook more if I didn't have to wash dishes.
Well, again,
I hate washing dishes.
Yeah. Why don't you write Martha and ask her who does hers? And
Okay.
Yeah, just in
Martha, do you know who I am?
Yeah, really. Just I need someone to wash dishes.
I need a dishwasher.
That's it. For almost a quarter century, Shawnee Casher has returned home in the evenings to a house in the trees. For 25 years?
You said that like it made so much sense.
Yeah.
And
the latest one is a wooden two-story structure built above the ground on the Florida property where her late son used to live. But Miami-Dade County officials are now ordering the 65-year-old grandma with purple hair.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
Who says she can't deal with closed doors and windows. Got to get out of her open-air abode, saying that the cottage wasn't built to code and thus is unsafe.
Mm.
And she's got to destroy it within the next 4 months, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. So
not only do you have to move out, you have to, you know,
tear it up
tear
so nobody
up
else
home.
Can get in there. The property that Shawnee is on is in a land trust. It's owned by her daughter. And she often charges fees to let people camp in the yard and rent out rooms in the legal home that was once occupied by her late son. Now, Shawnee was busted for her treehouse about a year ago when somebody called authorities to complain about people coming in and out of the property.
Wait, what?
Well,
they're going in there?
It's like knock out your
neighbor. Did her daughter call in on her?
Yeah, right. That could be it.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, you're on your own property. It might not be up to code, sure, but you know, you're way out in the country or whatever, and you're just living in a treehouse. It's
right.
Not that big. It's only affecting you.
It's her deal. And
right.
And I guess she's doing a bed and breakfast thing with the house, and that's all right, too.
But yeah.
Hey, Scott, go ahead and repeat what state that's in.
That would be in
Florida.
Miami-Dade. That's right. Florida.
Florida.
Makes total sense.
See, I wonder if she worries about Zika.
And yeah, it could. Well, maybe so. I don't know. That's I don't know how high off the ground is. Skeeters, you know, tend to stay close to the ground because that's where the food source is. Mm. But still. But I mean, now that's our second story. We had the Cooters story yesterday from Dukes of Hazzard where the neighbors are upset about that.
Yep.
A lot of unhappy people in Florida, apparently.
And I guess neither of them have HOAs. It's just people complaining, and it gets the same thing done. All right.
Interesting.
Sympathetic parents.
Poor Shawnee.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. Well, Shawnee may take it to court.
Yeah.
We should start a hashtag, Save Shawnee's Treehouse.
That's right. Crowdsource it. Let's see if we can get it.
You do that, Brad.
Yeah, get that built
get
up
right
to code.
That, yeah.
Yeah, get that built up to code. Sympathetic parents of elementary school students in China. Not only doing their kids' homework, they're seeking out ghostwriters. Ghostwriting services can range from simple homework assignments to full essays in a variety of subjects. For enough money, writers will even match the students' handwriting.
Ooh.
Yeah, a 25-page physics report costs $25. And again, I think that's a lot of money in China. I'm not sure, but I would think.
25-page?
Yeah.
For elementary school students?
Just saying that's why that's why they end up maybe getting better jobs than we thought.
Oh,
not
sure. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a rather disturbing video online that shows what happens to all the stuff in your car when you are involved in a crash. In the video, the car looks like it's packed for a trip. You got suitcases, toys, bags, other stuff. All the crash dummies are secured in their seat belts, and the airbags do inflate right on schedule. But if real people were in the car, they'd probably be dead of serious injuries when the car smacks into a wall head on. Everything in the car that's not tied down becomes a projectile.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hits the crash dummies and hits them hard.
It's moving just as fast as the car.
It is.
If you think about it.
So maybe just something to think about if you are going to be packing up to go someplace, and not necessarily for the vacation because that's over, but the idea that anything that's in your car. And you've seen that before. You've had something
on
the seat and you've had to slam on the brakes. It ends up being down on the floor.
My dog.
or it could be your dog.
Got to secure that stuff.
I know. I really need to get her like one of those doggy seat belts.
And she's
I'm like the protective mother who, if I have to break, I like reach out for her and like grab her collar.
But obviously you've missed
sometimes
one.
I've missed. Yeah.
But she still licks your face, right? Because she forgets all about it.
Okay. Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Building a home is a big decision, but it doesn't have to be a big hassle. Hi, I'm Coulter Marriott of Marriott Homes. We understand the importance of turnkey solutions, budget constraints, and the idea of true customization and style. Allow us a chance to shoulder your anxiety and create a home as comfortable and exciting to you and your family. We're with you every step of the way from blueprint to move-in. Marriott Homes, voted best home builder in the Brazos Valley since 2003. Call us at 696-1787 or click marriotthomes.com.
Your company's copiers and printers are essential to employee productivity. Don't lose valuable time due to unreliable office equipment. CTWP is the Brazos Valley's source for digital office products. CTWP carries a full line of black and white and color multifunctional imaging systems from the best equipment manufacturers in the world. And we provide reliable service and support for all of our products. Keep your business running smoothly with CTWP. Call 979-587-6435 or visit ctwp.com today.
News Talk 1620 WTAW, it's 821. Greta Van Susteren's gone.
Yep.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Out. Has left the building.
See ya.
14 years with Fox News, hosted On the Record, came on at, I think, 6 o'clock local time, but Fox announced yesterday morning she was leaving, and no reason was given for her exit, but Howard Kurtz of Fox reported that Greta was looking to renegotiate her contract after Roger Ailes left, and she had a key man clause in her contract that allowed her to leave if Ailes did. Apparently, that negotiation fell through. She chose to activate that clause. So Britt Hume has taken over her slot for the time being.
And she said that Fox had not felt like home in a couple of years.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
And, of course, you probably heard already that they settled with Gretchen Carlson.
Just, you know, a small sum of 20 mil.
Man, no kidding. So, hope she's okay with
Must
that.
Must be nice. Mm. Yeah. I mean, not nice of why and what happened, but still, $20 million.
Yep. So, anyhow, and she's already received an apology from Fox, issued a statement saying we sincerely regret and apologize for the fact that... that Gretchen, and if I said Greta, it's Gretchen, was not treated with the respect that she and all of her colleagues deserve.
Well, and we've already discussed this morning in the political segment, if you just say you're sorry. Yeah.
Everything's okay.
And take responsibility.
Someone's going to...
Yeah.
$20 million, I wish I could get sexually harassed.
Yeah. Well, once again, you have to follow the money. You have to follow the money.
Someone's going to have to say they're sorry. I just went into the break room. Mr. Downs is going to be mad.
Oh.
There's some coffee all over the floor.
Are you kidding? You mean like liquid coffee or
like
the ground?
Liquid coffee.
Because it overflows. He probably made that pot.
That's right. Once again,
it was him. Yeah.
We already know that's his not his strong suit.
He's the one that pours extra water into the top of it when you're not supposed to.
Good news is that it smells like coffee?
It does smell like coffee.
It doesn't smell like chocolate glazed donut flavored coffee. This morning.
Hello.
What exactly did Roger Ailes do at Fox to harass President Carlson? I never heard anything but just
She was fired, and she said that she was fired for not accepting his advancements.
Yeah, exactly. And again, some of these charges are, I don't know, 40 years old, which is not to justify, and I'm just saying that 40 years ago it was a different
And he
world.
Left with a $40 million severance package.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Nobody's really lost
in
this.
No, yeah.
Nobody's lost. All right, so if you've seen those ads for ITT Technical Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you won't be able to go there anymore.
No.
They're gone. 40,000 students on campuses and online across U.S. America shut down immediately.
Yeah.
I was watching Channel 13 last night, and, you know, they're talking to students going, well, I don't know. Problem is they can't get their transcripts.
Oh,
so
because all 8,000 employees are also looking for new jobs.
Yeah, so as a result, they don't have any way to get their transcripts. So you don't know, and you know, for the whoever's the University of Phoenix's or the DeVries or whatever, they'd go, well, some of that stuff will transfer, but I got to know what it is,
right?
Yeah. And it's got to be certified, and you know, then I'm guessing that some of them probably have student loans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that the U.S. Department of Education told the company on the 25th of August it couldn't enroll new students who used federal financial aid.
Yep.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
Department of Education says in order to have access to federal student loans, the schools need to be accredited by a government-recognized accrediting agency, and ITT Educational Services has been found to be out of compliance and its accreditors' standards twice this year. School also falsely advertised 100% employment rates for graduation. School says the government has denied its due process.
My question is, what are they going to do with all of that daytime TV ad space that's going to be empty now?
Oh, man, are you
seriously?
Kidding? Yeah, and all those folks who got jobs and were on the commercials, and fortunately they've got jobs, but that does for, and again, we don't have them here, but they are in the big cities, and a lot of people, that was their answer, I guess. You know, there are obviously a lot of community colleges in the Houston area, but the bottom line, again, is if you don't have the transcripts and you don't have any way to get your money back, you're going to be doubly hurt on that situation as we go forward.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Coffee drinking jeans. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. Some people need at least 3 cups of coffee just to get their day going, while others can't handle much caffeine at all. Now researchers have discovered that having a variant of a gene called PDSS2 makes them more sensitive to caffeine.
So these people are drinking less coffee, but they probably don't know why.
University of Edinburgh geneticist Nicola Pirostu says that having 2 copies of the gene variant amounts to about 2 fewer cups of coffee per day.
So when we looked at the function of this gene, it's basically inhibiting the caffeine metabolism pathways, affecting the speed at which caffeine is metabolized.
Pirostu says when caffeine sticks around in the body, people feel less of an urge to consume more of it. He and his colleagues write in scientific reports that the gene variant may also affect the breakdown of certain medications. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. ITT Technical Institute is shutting down all 130 of its U.S. campuses, saying it can't survive recent sanctions by the Education Department. The decision leaves more than 35,000 students scrambling for last-minute options. The chain was banned from enrolling new students who used federal financial aid because the Education Department said ITT had become a risk to students and taxpayers. A federal judge has tentatively rejected a plan by the Federal Bureau of Land Management to open more than 1,500 square miles of lands in Central California to oil drilling and fracking. The judge said the federal government failed to take a hard look at the environmental effects of the estimated 25% of new wells that would be devoted to fracking. He gave the agency's attorneys until September 21st to argue why he should not issue an injunction stopping the plan. Crude oil down 7 cents at $44.76 a barrel. On Wall Street, futures indicating a mixed open. That's Your Money Now.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the 2-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Apple's big event will begin shortly, and all eyes turn to the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. That's when Apple CEO Tim Cook will unveil the newest iPhone 7. Kim Commando with your Wednesday Digital Consumer Tech Update. Thanks to virtually continuous leaks from inside Apple's supply chain, no one's expecting anything spectacular from them today. We will officially hear that the iPhone 7 headphone jack is gone, and that only Bluetooth headphones will work here on. I expect a dual-lens camera, as Apple desperately responds to Samsung's phones. No wow factor, like a curved screen, at least until next year. That's the iPhone's 10th anniversary. Look for a few changes with Apple computers, maybe even a new model. Perhaps adding GPS to the Apple Watch, but no Wi-Fi and no ability to make calls from the watch. And no long lines at any Apple stores this year. Get all the breaking tech news updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O. You really need to check this out. Epson's revolutionary EcoTang printers. And listen to this. Cartridge-free printing. That's right. Epson has produced a refillable ink tank ready to print for up to 2 years. Imagine a printer that comes with enough ink right in the box to print up to 8,500 pages. That's equivalent to 50 ink cartridge sets. You save up to 80% on ink with low-cost replacement bottles. The Epson EcoTank ET4550 is a wireless, all-in-one printer. High-speed, vivid colors, and laser-quality black text. Easy wireless printing for PCs, tablets, and smartphones. Go cartridge-free for an unbeatable combination of convenience and value. The Epson EcoTank ET4550 comes with up to 2 years of ink right in the box. Go to Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more. That's Epson.com/EcoTank. Epson, exceed your vision.
The Kim Commando Show is brought to you by Kubota. Value, efficiency, and performance. Find a Kubota dealer near you at TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:31, 76 degrees at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Opponents spoke last night at the first of three public forums about new boundaries for the College Station 5th through 12th grade buildings. Camille Haley was among those calling for grandfathering to include freshmen.
We have a group of students here who have been told since the fifth grade that they were going to get to be together. And right after starting high school, we're now having to tell them, oh, sorry, all the adults in charge have just changed their minds. You're going to have to go make new friends and compete again for your spot on the dance team or the volleyball team or the UIL academic team or, you know, pick your program, the band, the music programs.
More than 1 hour of comments were given to members of the College Station School Board and about half of the 37-member committee that made the recommendations. College Station School District voters could be seeing two more bond issues in the next 5 years. That was part of last week's Boundary Adjustment Committee report to the school board. Committee member Philip Garrett says if population projections hold, there would be an election in 2018 for Phase 2 of College Station High School. Another bond election is possible 3 years after that.
In November 2021, a comprehensive high school number 3 opens fall of 2024. We're well over campus capacity in future years based on our current trends.
The committee's recommendations for redrawing current 5th through 12th grade boundaries continues to receive public comments today at noon at the Transportation Center and next Monday at 5:30 at the school board meeting room. There were not enough members of the Bryan City Council at the end of last night's meeting to vote on next year's budget.
The special meeting began shorthanded with the absences of Greg Owens and Buppy Simic. Then Jason Bianski and Ben Hardiman left council chambers after a motion was made to move $50,000 to help an expansion of BRAC, the Bryan Regional Athletic Complex, by reducing an equal amount from the Research Valley Partnership Economic Development Agency. Mike Sutherland attempted to continue with only 3 of 7 members remaining.
So they're leaving. We can vote on the budget.
Well, we have a majority. We started with a majority.
But without a quorum, the meeting ended. The next regularly scheduled council meeting to try a second time to approve next year's budget is next Tuesday. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
In the next 2 to 3 years, nearly $180 million of new buildings are planned to be open at the Texas A&M System's Rellis Education Center, the former Riverside campus in West Bryan. Rellis Director John Barton told the Board of Regents last week that groundbreaking takes place in 2 weeks on a $73 million research building.
That will be second to none in the United States of America and allow us to do full-scale testing of structural elements and to explore new ways to improve infrastructure here and around the globe as we have to rebuild bridges and water and sewer treatment plants and roads and other infrastructure facilities over the next several decades.
Barton says Blinn College next February or March will start construction on their $30 million academic building. And next April, the Texas A&M Transportation Institute starts a new $75 million headquarters and a laboratory. College Station's bomb squad was called out to North Bryan yesterday morning to check a suspicious package in the parking lot of the HEB at Texas and Highway 21. Bryan Police Officer Kelly McKeithen says a briefcase by the gas pumps was opened but not damaged by the inspection. The parking lot was closed for about 2 hours until noon. The package was found to be not dangerous. And the Brazos County Health Department says flu season normally runs from October through March. That's what makes the current flu outbreak notable. Over the last 2 weeks, the health department says there has been 362 cases. That's seven times the number in October and November of last year. Tips from the health department that are online at WTAW.com includes everyone 6 months or older getting a flu shot. WTAW News Time is 8:35. It's 76 degrees. Text us any time of the day, 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. I'll have more news for you today at noon, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
45, St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses:
Citizen State Bank, Memorial Funeral Chapel, Napa Auto Parts, Service Insurance Group, and Equity Real Estate.
Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
8:37, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Let's check some weather. It's brought to you by Skyline Communications, in business for your business since 1981 with two-way radios and paging service. Call Skyline Communications at 775-2929.
Considerable sunshine today. That'll push temperatures up to 90 to 95 this afternoon, though there could be a shower or storm as the day goes on, 90 to 95. Turning clear tonight, warm, lows near 75. High pressure will remain off to the east tomorrow. More sun, maybe an isolated storm late in the day, a high of 95. Clear tomorrow night, lows are going to be near 75. The outlook for Friday, sunshine and warm, highs 90 to 95. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Here it goes, Wednesday, time to talk to the mayors, and Mayor Jason Bianski here this morning from the city of Bryan. How are you today?
Good morning, Scott. Doing well. Thank you.
The the Gibbons Creek Power Plant, I just thought from day one, that was one of the greatest things that Bryan ever decided to get into. It was four different cities that got together and had a had a lignite-powered plant that really looked like the future. Well, times change like everything else, and BTU has grown almost exponentially, and decided that now might be the time to get out of that business. There are four cities in it, and two had already voted on it, and y'all voted last night to decide to get rid of that property.
Yes, Scott, the city council voted unanimously last night to move forward with the sale of TMPA. Of course, we've got partners of Denton, Garland, Greenville, Texas, that also voted last night and approved to move forward. So the TMPA board of directors is meeting in Bryan this week. I think they will vote on it Thursday. So today's Wednesday. They'll be voting on it tomorrow. If that all moves through, then The sale will take place. Say a little bit about the process. We're able to purchase energy cheaper through other sources than the coal plant because of some environmental restrictions and regulations. It's cheaper to go outside of TMPA for power for the citizens or for the ratepayers of BTU. As part of the generation resource planning process, TMPA and the member cities issued an RFP in early spring to see if there was any interest in purchasing the generating facility. Bids were received, evaluated, negotiated. The four city councils decided to move forward. The TMPA board of directors votes this week. If they approve, sale moves forward. BTU and the city council would not be moving forward if we didn't think it was beneficial to the BTU customers. And we'll have more details once everything is after the press release on Thursday.
Now, tell me, was this ever a negative number on the balance sheet for these cities? Was this a losing money proposition at any time?
Well, you've got good years and you've got bad years. And so overall, was it a good proposition, an investment for the ratepayers? It was. And after it's all said and done and everything is sold, it will be a good thing for the ratepayers and citizens of Bryan.
Well, again, I guess it's interesting. As you say, there were some there's some environmental things. Lignite, not exactly the best material to be using in this. There's still plenty of it in the ground over there. And, I mean, can we get any idea of what's going to be going on over in that area? Is that recoverable, or how would they possibly repurpose that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to go into all of that in our next interview after the sale is finalized. Because of confidentiality, we're not allowed to talk about what the company that's buying it intends to do with it until everything goes through. But it will be good for Grimes County. It'll be good for employment opportunities, and again, good for the ratepayers. So this is a win-win for the four member cities, TMPA, and the purchaser.
One of the other things y'all looked at, there were some proposals having to do with a moratorium on allowing cell phone towers on both public and private property until you got some regulations written. You got 7 permits right now for 200-foot poles and about 13 permits for 45-foot poles. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, we've got a lot of companies wanting to come in into the right-of-ways, and they're putting in towers and lines and above and beyond what some of the city staff is wanting to look at. So they're wanting to check out the regulations, see what would be acceptable to what other cities are doing, and then just put a moratorium for a short period of time and come back with an ordinance that would look into that.
Sure. I guess the big story last night was that only 5 members of council there, and you and Councilman Hardiman decided to get up and leave the meeting early. Your thoughts there?
Well, we were talking about the budget. This was the second and final reading of the budget. The first reading of the budget at the last council meeting passed with only one council member that voted against it. That was Council Member Sutherland. Council Member Pena voted for it. There were no issues, changes, amendments at that time. We've had 6 council meetings, workshops to talk about budget issues, budget concerns, what you want to do with the almost $400 million budget, spend it on. That's something the staff's been working diligently on since May. And so Councilmember Pena never attended any of the budget meetings. So if he had any concerns, he needed to be at those budget meetings. They were held at the same times. They've always been held for 10-plus years. Councilmember Sutherland, I think, mentioned in the paper that he didn't have a chance to ask his questions about the budget. Now, we all know Councilmember Sutherland, and we know he likes to ask questions, so I don't think he was muted for the last 6 meetings about the budget. He had an opportunity to talk with staff, both at the meetings and away from the meetings, if he had some concerns. But last night, we didn't have a majority of the council there, and so they saw fit to take advantage of that and start making 1,000 different amendments and changes. And Councilmember Sutherland was getting off topic, talking about population of College Station and things going on in College Station. To avoid open meetings violations. And again, I think it was, since we didn't have the full city council, they were taking advantage of the situation. If it was a concern for them at all, it should have been a concern over the past 3 months. It should have been a concern at the last meeting when they voted for it.
So there was no specific amendment that you heard that made you decide to get up and leave?
What they want to use the money for and what they wanted to cut the money for, that's something that we can look at over that three-month process and say, all right, yeah, we need more money for this, or maybe we need to put money into this. But, again, we've already gone through the first reading of the meeting. It passed by a large majority, five votes for. So to go in and start making changes at the last hour, we'd be basically starting from scratch. And so then we'd have to go back. It would be you'd have another reading that would have to pass, and we'd be delaying the process to, and we have a time table to complete by the end of September.
Well, I want to remind you, but back in May of 2015, I think you and Councilmember Condrilla and Councilmember Hughes walked out of a joint P&Z and council meeting at that time, right?
Absolutely, yeah. By the advice of our city attorney, any time that we are talking off subject, which sometimes happens, if you participate and you talk about an item that's not posted on the agenda, whatever that may be, that you're subject to open meetings violations. And we've seen other cities in this area that appeared before the judge and the district attorney and for those violations. And so we're always told to get up and walk if the subject strays away from it, and the council continues to talk about it without a change of subject. Most of the time, the subject will change back to the item at hand. But all that we were supposed to talk about at that point in time was an amendment to take $50,000 from economic development and putting it into another program. There was everything else talked about but that item. So if it's posted, you need to talk about what's posted. That's not my rules. That's state law, and that's parliamentary procedure. So
institutions generally move in a deliberate manner. A&M has decided Relish is going to move, and it's going to move pretty quickly. We're looking at them breaking ground on their first new building out there in 2 weeks. What does that do to impact the plan that Brian wants to do to dovetail that development out there however they possibly can?
What do you mean, the plan by Brian to dovetail?
Well, how do you want to change your development plans out there? I mean, are there some changes that you want to make developmentally? Because the Relish campus is something that we hadn't even talked about 6 months ago, and now it's going to be certainly a pad of growth in that section of Brian.
Well, it definitely was off the radar. We're excited that A&M's taking the 2,000-acre campus and developing it and doing all that they plan on doing with it. It's something that we have been talking about here recently. There was actually a proposal to look at annexation in that area and to protect the area and what could develop around there. But I think it's too early at this point to see what may become of the area, but the infrastructure's in place. So we're working with BTU right now to provide power to the campus to their capacity and their needs. We do have infrastructure in the area. Some infrastructure will need to be brought out that way, so that's something that we'll have to do at that point. If we need to go back and adjust the comprehensive plan and look at what might need to be adjusted in that Highway 47 corridor, which is now called Riverside Parkway, that's something the council can do. But we are working hand-in-hand with A&M in the system in regards to Relish and providing them what they need for their success, and we will make sure that we're able to take advantage of it and complement in the development around the campus. But it's a game changer. I mean, we're so excited about the Relish campus. I mean, when you've got 2,000 acres that kind of sits dormant, I mean, I know TTI has been out there, Teeks and Tees have had operations out there, but Blinn College is moving forward now with their new campus out there. They're talking about other type of trainings out there. We've got some private businesses that are locating out there. So 2,000 acres, a lot of possibilities and potential, and it'll be good for not only Bryan, but for Bryan College Station, but another shot in the arm for the west side of Bryan.
Sure. Workforce training opportunities as far as you're concerned in the marketplace?
Absolutely. There's a committee right now that's meeting and talking about workforce opportunities and technical training, and Blinn College has been providing some of that here in Bryan College Station. I'm hoping that they'll expand some of the courses that they offer, and accommodate some of these businesses that are locating here with some of the training that's needed. Not everybody wants to go to a four-year institution, so it's very important, and I think you'll see some opportunities with the city of Bryan and College Station and Blinn College and A&M in regards to those efforts.
Sure. Anything else you got for us today?
Yes, Scott. I want to mention the next Lunch and Learn session is called a light lunch, and I emphasize light, a light lunch with BTU. Mm. So it's October 5th from 12 to 1 p.m. in the Bryan Municipal Building. Of course, it's always free to the public. Lunch will be served, an opportunity to hear about everything going on with BTU and the wonderful service that they provide our citizens. It's one of the least expensive in the state of Texas, probably one of the best in customer services in the state of Texas. So very proud of BTU. And last but not least, I've got my Texas Reds Grape and Steak Festival shirt on today.
Yeah.
September 23rd through 25th in downtown Bryan, over 40 wineries participating in steaks. Headliners this year, we've got Ray Wiley Hubbard, Rodney Crow, plus many other local performers that we'll have throughout the two to three day festival. But it is the 10th anniversary, and if you've never gone out to a Texas Reds festival, I welcome you to come out. If you've been there before, then you're going to realize how nice it is, and hopefully the weather's going to be great, and it's an away game, so give everyone an opportunity to come out and enjoy beautiful, historic downtown Bryan.
We hope they do it. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. That's Jason Bianski, the mayor of Bryan. We visit the mayors on alternate Wednesdays. It's our community segment brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
80 years ago, life was simple, and so is insurance. Since 1936, Van Dyke Rankin has been insuring your family and business, protecting those things most important to you. As a business owner, you've poured your blood, sweat, and tears into your passion. So save money while working with someone you know and someone you trust. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance. People just like you, providing insurance services with honesty and integrity.
610. It is a number that is way, way too big. When I tell you that what it represents is the number of Texans who have died fighting the war on terror. But it is 610 brave souls who you will have a chance to honor starting tomorrow and going through next Wednesday at the Museum of the American GI in College Station. Remembering Our Fallen is an exhibit coming to the museum for a week. A week, of course, that will include the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Leisha Mullins and her husband Brent's Pride and Joy, the Museum of the American GI, will host this exhibit. Here's Leisha.
What this exhibit is a memorial to all the Texas veterans that have died fighting in the war on terror. So there are ones that were fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq. So right now there's 610 photographic images of these individuals, and it's a living memorial. As additional servicemen, if they die, then they will be added to that. But this one is to honoring all of our Texas veterans.
I personally didn't know how to put a number on it. One is too many. 610. Well, obviously, that's way too many.
It's one of these things that, you know, we recognize and we empathize with our Gold Star families. And, you know, people are a little bit more in tune right now with our service members when they die. But as you said, it's until you actually get to see something tangible, like the photographs, and then you walk through it. It's hard to put, as you said, put a number on it to see actually how many families and friends of families that are affected.
There will be a reception tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock that'll end at 7:30 with the showing of the film Hornet's Nest. One Texan who lost his life fighting the war on terror, Staff Sergeant Brian Burgess, was killed in the action that is highlighted by this documentary. His parents are planning on attending the reception tomorrow night. Again, here's Leisha Mullen.
We're just going to have a little reception for people as people get off of work to tide them over till they can have a dinner time. But from 6 to 6:30, we're going to have a reception. Then we're going to have a previewing of the exhibit for about an hour, 6:30 to 7:30. Then we're going to show Hornet's Nest. Hornet's Nest is a documentary that was some videographers were embedded in a group in Afghanistan, and it was meant to be
be a very short action that they were going to film, and it turned into being a several-day battle. So within this battle, six servicemen died. One of them was Sergeant Burgess, and after the documentary came to be, the family likes to go around and visit with people as we see the film. And so we thought it was a perfect time to actually show that documentary, since we have the exhibit that honors the veterans that died, and Sergeant Burgess is one of those that are on that memorial.
Remembering Our Fallen is an exhibit that was actually created by a couple from Omaha, Yvonne and Bill Williams. It is a national exhibit, but it is divided into states. Again, the exhibit will be at the Museum of the American GI. That is in South College Station, just south of Santa's Wonderland, off of Highway 6. It'll be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, and the special reception starting at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, and it's all free. Remember the fallen. And that's Bravo Brazos Valley. I'm Tom Turbeville. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Thanks, Brazos Valley, for voting Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors the best of the Brazos for 2016. Here's your mid-year update. Average sales price of homes, $227,900. Average days on the market, 86. Currently, we have a 90-day supply of homes, which means it's a seller's market. Call us, Agtown Realtors, for a free market evaluation, 979-846-8400. Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, the trusted source creating exceptional experiences for all we serve.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. So here we are. It's 4 minutes till. Got a few more things to take care of. At first it seemed open-minded, but some people are just not too happy with all of it now. Her name is Pyranka Yoshikawa.
Mm-hmm.
She is 22. She is half Chinese, half Indian. She is the new Miss Japan.
Oh.
This is the second year in a row that a biracial woman has won the pageant.
Oh.
Many critics saying that a pure Japanese woman should have won. And they have become very vocal about it on social media.
Mm.
Now, for her part, she's an elephant trainer.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. She says, yes, my dad is Indian, and I am proud of it. I'm proud that I have Indian in me, but that doesn't mean I'm not Japanese.
True. Mm-hmm.
So, where are we going to go with that one?
Interesting.
That could end up being a thing of the future, because the look of the world 50 years from now is going to be a whole lot of mixed folks.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what, interracial relationships is like in Japan.
In other
countries, for, that matter. So, I mean, it's really just become something of acceptance recently here.
So that's what they're looking at, is the national pride issue, I guess, that they need to have a 100% pure person to be their representative.
Which, if they were in America, they couldn't say that.
No. Nope.
You just simply couldn't say that.
Nope. Life seems to happen in threes for the Stevenson family, Seth and Lauren Stevenson of Dickinson. I think that's Texas.
Yeah, I mean, there is one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're married in 2013 after a three-day engagement, just 3 months after they had first met while working. Oh, no, it's an oil field site in North Dakota. Well, it could still be in Dickinson now. So, anyway. So it only made sense that on Thursday, for the third consecutive year, on the same exact day, the couple welcomed their third child. Newborn Henry, born September 1, 2016, joins two-year-old brother Alex, born September 1, 2014, one-year-old sister Tommy, born September 1, 2015.
Makes it easy to remember the birthdays.
All three natural births. Yeah, what are the odds that that happens? So. All right, on the season finale of Bachelor in Paradise.
Tell me.
Not one, not two, but three couples got engaged.
No.
Yeah, after just a few short weeks of dating in Mexico.
Yeah, for those of you keeping score, it was Evan and Carly. It was Grant and Lace. It was Josh and Amanda.
Oh.
Of course so it
congratulations,
was.
Congratulations, guys.
I know. It's wonderful. That said, ABC has picked up Bachelor in Paradise for a fourth season. The host was Monday's number one series for the host by Chris Harrison. Number one series, 18 to 34-year-olds right there.
Yeah.
So there it is, a very, very popular show. On the other side of the spectrum, there's Monica Riley, who's only 27, lives in Fort Worth, weighs 700 pounds. She's a model and gets paid by men to watch her eat.
Oh, that is so
yes, it really, really is. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Anyhow, she's wanting to, what'd you do? Did you look her up? Don't.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
Okay,
I'm just,
don't.
It's a hard pass. Hard pass on
she
that.
She wants to pack on another 300 pounds.
She's going
to
die.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh,
she is
goodness.
Going to die.
Her boyfriend, Sid, who's 25.
Boyfriend?
Yeah, okay. even helps her by cooking her meals and feeding her 3,500 calorie shakes through a funnel.
Well, that's she not, can't stand.
Yeah. She is mostly that's... looking forward to being completely bedridden and using the bed that has a toilet in it.
That is disgusting.
That's not helping. That's enabling. That's what that is.
That is awful.
I'm not knowing.
Well, yeah, Sid's hoping she makes enough money that when she finally dies,
he gets a cash check. That's what we're talking about. Unfortunately, that's in Texas, too.
Ugh.
All right, let me see. On this date in 1921 in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the first Miss America pageant